Hi, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 24th of April, getting toward the end of the month, and we have yet to have had our open line, so let not a moment pass without our open line for the month of April. And that means that you can just call in with suggestions of programs you'd like to hear. Maybe you've read a terrific book and you want everybody to hear about that book, or there's a guest you've heard analyzing the environment or the political world or schools or whatever the subject happens to be. You've given us wonderful suggestions in the past, and I would imagine today would be no different. So call in. We also have an email. We'll try to write down some of those suggestions in case you can't call in today. Our phone number, however, is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. 414-227-2050 for you to join our open line conversation. John Treader is answering phone calls today. Say hello to John, and we'll be with you on the air just as soon as we can. And let's start our calls with Bob from Stevens Point. Hi, Bob.
Your screen must have liked my topic. So here goes. No one has ever done a show on slot machines.
No, I don't think I ever have.
I don't want a show against gambling. I want somebody to explain what happens every time you stick your card in the machine. What does it know? What does it remember? I also want to know things about odds, payout. What's the percentage of payout? But please, no anti-gambling show. You can do that another time.
How about if we do both at the same time?
No, that'll kill it. I don't want the little old ladies who go there calling up, I lost my pension, you know, or I've got a niece, you know. Do it separate. You can do both of them, but not together. Because there's an awful lot of people who frequent casinos.
Oh, yeah.
Shame on me. Don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you sit there and everybody's grumbling, you see, or they walk out, they say things like, boy, they're tight today.
Right.
So just, you know, a light topic. Someday when we're overdosing on too many topics about is it sexist or racist, this ad, or is it a negative ad? You know, just switch the topic.
Just switch to slot machines. Okay.
I guarantee it'll be interesting. Now, there are books where people explain slot machines.
I'm not sure I'd be reading those, Bob, but maybe you could read it for me and give me my questions. I don't know a darn thing about it.
Well, let the people who go there, I'm sure I'm not the only.
I'm sure you're not.
Just try it.
All right.
The reason
Bob.
I like your hours better than Joy's. Ben's got good hours, too, because we're not interrupted with the weather and all that stuff. So,
well, people like the weather. You got to know what the weather's
going to
be.
No, but I mean, you know, you get going on a flow and all of a sudden you got to tell me that it's going to rain. You know, if it isn't serious, who cares about the weather?
Well, if it's serious weather, you can't get to the slot machine.
Well, I'll be listening on the radio. I won't be in the casino.
Goodbye, Bob.
Okay.
All right. No, I don't think I have ever in my life. I've done shows on gambling and whether or not we should have gambling. Remember when we had that big debate in Wisconsin a long time ago, but how slot machines work, no. I have not done a show on that. Maybe we will someday. Milton from West Allis.
Good morning. I agree with Bob. In general, I'd like to hear fewer shows on politics. It just seems like that's old chewing gum that almost all the flavor has gone out of. I mean, I don't want to hear no shows on politics, but maybe some fewer ones. Okay, specifically, I'd like to hear shows on whatever happened to, like, have a sense of recent history, like whatever happened to the anthrax investigation, things, you know, something like that. Secondly, I'd like to hear from some survival guests who can tell us all what to do just in case some of these real gloom and doom financial scenarios that are being kicked around really happen. So survival guests would be good. Third one, North American Union. The three leaders just met for their security and prosperity partnership, and parts of their discussion involve selling large parts of American public infrastructure to international companies. So maybe we should talk about that. And lastly, I would like for you to have Ellen Rosewall or some other members of the Wisconsin Public Radio Association Board of Directors on to talk about what they do. They handle one-third of Wisconsin Public Radio's money, and I just think they're kind of an important group, and we really don't know what they do.
All right, Milton. Thanks for your call. Linda from Monroe, hi.
Good morning, Kathleen. I have a two suggestions about the guests on the economy,
mm-hmm.
because the polls are showing that the economy is the number one problem. The first one is Charles Morris, a former banker, and he sometimes writes for Atlantic Monthly. He wrote a book about the economy called The Trillion Dollar Meltdown, Easy Money, High Rollers, and the Great Credit Crash.
Okay.
I think he'd make a great guest. Then the second one is, I just read an article how new global banking rules could deepen the U.S. crisis in the April 28th issue of the Business Week magazine written by Peter Coy.
Mm-hmm.
I looked that up on the web, and they called the meeting Basel II, which is what I looked it up under, and the web said one of the sponsors was the Financial Times of London. So I think Peter Coy of Business Week could give you all the details on that.
All right.
And you have a good day, and it's good to hear you back working again, because we kind of miss you when you're not there.
Thank you, Linda. I miss not being here. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye. Ross from La Crosse. Hi, Ross.
Hi. Hey, it sounds like we're going to have a bunch of good shows coming up, huh?
Which one do you like best?
The one I'm going to suggest.
Of course.
I think Wisconsin invented a hemp machine. It was in Poplar Mechanics in about 1937. And hemp makes a real good fuel, also real good food, perfect amino acids, complete amino acids. And I don't understand why you don't have a show on it's a big, big subject, and it would certainly help to feed the world and fuel the world. Also makes good cardboard, paper, help out the wood industry.
Uh-huh.
I'm hoping that you have at least one segment on hemp.
All right. You know, we've done shows on it, but it hasn't been for a long time, so.
I haven't heard it for a long time either.
Right. Because we haven't had it for a long time, but
yeah.
we will give that consideration.
Sounds great.
All right, Ross. Thanks so much.
Keep your ear open.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
So much.
Yeah, thanks. Mohammed from Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. I'm a doctor, and I do not know if the public knows this or not. But the American insurance industry is getting richer and richer because it literally steals money from hospitals and doctors.
Mm.
We have, in the name of competition, now a diversified Medicare even, and there are perhaps 16,000 insurance companies, which the doctors have to be credentialed. I mean, if I am a state licensed physician, who is an insurance company to question my credentials that I am not licensed?
Mm-hmm.
My state recognizes me as a doctor, and every insurance company should recognize me as a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is becoming a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Or should recognize the kind of prescriptions that you give as a doctor, and many insurance companies won't do that, right?
No, insurance companies simply don't pay. I mean, for example, my son got hurt on the face in a soccer field, and this insurance company for the last 9 months is trying to gather any evidence of a pre-existing situation on a 26-year-old.
Mm.
I am sorry to use these words but I mean, this is a part of the anatomy. One of his genitalia something was wrong with it, so he went to a urologist, and then he went to an ENT doctor, and they are not paying the ENT doctor because they don't have information about his genitalia.
Mm.
Now, are we come down to this? The idea is that the Blue Cross Blue Shield does not want to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And private insurance companies are even worse. I rather take welfare because a welfare patient is consistent. At least I get paid on time. I don't get questioned. And now we have put HMOs in Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
So the poor people, the elderly people, they're so confused. They just don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't know what to do. I wish you could get an expert in this and have, I'm not suggesting that there should be a one-payer system, but I wish you can get somebody to let the public be educated about this nightmare in which only the insurance companies are getting rich and the hospitals are getting poorer, the doctors are getting poorer, the patients are getting poorer. One last comment and I'll be done. Any town you drive into, who has the tallest building? Mutual of this and mutual of that. You don't see a doctor having a 110-story building or a hospital having a 150-story building. So the insurance companies are ripping off America, and that's what I want to...
All right, Mohammed. It's a very good suggestion, and we will be on this. It would be a good show. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks very much for the call. Eugene from Viola. Hi.
Good morning, Kathleen. I was wondering, with the change in administrations in Washington in January, I was wondering how many of those people, if they think they'll be getting laid off, will be drawing unemployment.
I don't know.
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
I mean, if their pensions would interfere with that, how many of them will be signing up for unemployment? Would George Bush be signing up for unemployment?
Oh, no, he doesn't. He doesn't need to do that.
I know that.
But I don't know if people go right to another job immediately or if they get unemployment benefits.
I don't know. I'm just curious. It might be a fun show.
Mm-hmm. All right, Eugene.
Okay, thanks much.
Yeah, thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks for the call. Tanya from Waukesha. Hi.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I'm wondering if you could have the author Michael Pollan, P-O-L-L-A-N, on as your guest to talk about his book, The Omnivore's Dilemma.
Yeah, we've had him on when the first book came out.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he's a marvelous guest. He's been on a couple times, but we sure could try and schedule him again. He's worth hearing many times.
Well, he has a new book out now called In Defense of Food. So perhaps you could talk a little bit about that as well.
Yes, definitely. All right, I got that written down.
All right, thank you.
And we will be on the case.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Tanya.
Bye.
Lori from Franklin, hi.
Hi, Kathleen. I'm also glad to hear you back on air.
Thanks, Lori.
But I won't start reading to you from my shopping list. That's what I almost did to poor John Treader there, but. I wrote my suggestions on my shopping list by mistake. Anyway, a good laugh once in a while. A Winter Soldier is a topic I'm interested in, and also Sami Al-Aryan. Winter Soldier is a group of Vietnam veterans against the war. It would be quite controversial, but some of the veterans, quite a number of them went to Washington in March. And they were talking about how they had been made by their superiors to do things that went against their values, and they're living the consequences. I think it'd be interesting to hear from that group.
I don't know if you heard Jeremy Scahill. He was on just...
Yeah,
Did you hear that? He was talking about going to those meetings, and I got to tell you, he was in our studio, and the tears were just flowing from his eyes. He was so moved.
Well, yes, and I did hear that one, Kathleen.
Yeah.
Maybe
we should get some of those soldiers if we can.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then Sam Al-Aryan. Now, we were in Florida at the time that he was, he's a professor from University of Florida, I'm not sure, in Tampa, whatever that one is. And he was accused of fundraising, and he's always been very forthright speaking out against our invasion of war in Iraq, and he's been supportive of some of his countrymen, and he's been arrested. Now he's on a hunger strike. He's that one. I think it'd be interesting to have a show about that to update that situation for us.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two.
All right. What's on the shopping list?
Granola.
What's on the shopping list?
Yeah, granola.
Oh, granola.
Yeah. Honey Gone Granola. Let's have that one, too. Thank you, Kathy.
Thanks very much for the call.
Bye.
Our number is 800-486-8655, 227-2050 if you're in Milwaukee. And we have an open line going on for the month of April on this April 24. We invite you once a month to call in with your suggestions, and we follow through, actually, on many of them. There are a couple already on our list that we'll be following through on soon. So call us or send an email if you'd like. You can do that. Actually, I'll give you – you know what I need to do is give you Rhonda's email address and my email address so you can just send us – your notes. Rhonda's is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G at WPR.org. And mine is Dunk, D-U-N-N-K at WPR.org. All right. Okay. We go to Nettie next from Pittsville. Hi, Nettie.
Yes, good morning. I'm so glad you're back, and you take care of yourself.
Thank you, Nettie.
I just told the man that answered the phone, I said, there's an author, her name is Joyce Hiffler, and she writes the most wonderful, uplifting things. And I have a book called To Everything a Season. And it, I guess you could almost say it's a religious book, but it's the kind that, you know, just brings you right, you know, it's just where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still writing, I think. I had my daughter Google her, and couldn't find an address for her, but she does live in Oklahoma, and maybe you could find her. But I think she's still writing. This book happens to be probably around 20 years old, but in times of, you know, illness or, you know, you can just pick it up anywhere and you can start reading, and it's just a combination of nature and spirituality and everything all combined, and I think we need more of those kind of books, and I never hear anybody ever talking about her.
Mm-hmm.
But it's she's just a wonderful author. If you get a chance, pick up To Everything a Season, and just, you can just read anywhere, and it just makes your day just to read what she has to say.
Oh, that's good. It's good to have books like that, isn't it?
Yes. I go back when I have down times in my life, or, you know, something bad happens, or even sometimes when something joyful happens, I just pick it up and I just read a little bit in there, and it's just like, it just changes my whole outlook on life.
Mm-hmm. We'll try and find her.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks very much for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Betty. Let's go next to Scott from Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Scott.
Good morning. I was wondering about maybe getting Ben Stein on. His latest movie, Expelled, that he's in, he's getting quite a visceral reaction to it. And I guess I haven't heard him speak out about it yet, but I'm wondering about his take on it, because he's getting just lambasted in the press. And it's kind of interesting. I just wonder about his take on the reaction to that particular film. Especially it's a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he'd be an entertaining guy.
Yeah, I've read about it. Okay, Scott, we'll try and do that. Thank you. Ann from Madison, hi.
Hi. I have a couple of suggestions. One is on Tuesday in the Cap Times, there was a front page story. The headline was Terror POWs Drugged, Detainees Being Forcibly Injected at Guantanamo Bay. It's a long story, and people who've been released from Guantanamo Bay, sometimes after years of, you know, heavy treatment, described being injected with drugs that made them fall asleep and drool and rant and rave and, you know, all kinds of probably psychotropic drugs or various kinds. I think that would be an interesting story. It was by Joby Warrick, W-A-R-R-I-C-K, who's a Washington Post reporter. And we heard earlier this week that, or I guess last week, that Delta and I think Northwest Airlines, both of which declared huge losses this quarter, want to merge. And I'm wondering, what in the world has happened to antitrust regulation in this country? Is there still an antitrust division? I think it's the Department of Commerce. And if so, what in, you know, what in anybody's name are they doing to stop this kind of thing? Because you know, two bankrupt corporations merge. The merged corporation goes bankrupt. All the creditors are left unpaid, and they keep doing this, you know, ad infinitum. And in the meantime, the public bails these corporations out. I think antitrust, not enforcement, or, you know, is one of the biggest problems we've got. I don't know who could talk about that, but I'm sure there's some great
I'm sure there's someone. Right. All right, Ann, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. Kathy from La Crosse. Hi.
Hi, thanks a lot. I have a couple of suggestions. I just saw a documentary on Wisconsin Public Television called King Corn, and it was excellent and talks about the history of farming, farm policy, food policy, what farmers are growing now. The two young men who made it both had distant relatives who came from Green, Iowa, so that's where
right.
much of it takes place.
Uh-huh.
So I would recommend getting them on to talk about their film.
Well, I got to tell you, Rhonda was way ahead of you on
oh,
that.
Good.
We've already had them on, I think, 3 months ago,
oh,
maybe. No, it's okay. It's worth seeing.
I don't listen all the time, but
I understand.
Most of the time.
I understand. It was a very good show. They were informative and entertaining.
Yeah, well, it's a great documentary, so I guess I'll just tell people to watch it. And
then
my other one is, and maybe he's been on too, his name is Dr. Michio Kaku. He's written a new book called The Physics of the Impossible.
Mm.
He's a professor of theoretical physics at the Graduate Center of the City University of New York.
Mm.
And it's a really interesting book, and it just talks about what's coming up and what we used to think is impossible is not, and... So
oh, that's interesting.
He's a really good guest.
How do you spell his name, Kathy?
His last name is K-A-K-U.
Okay.
First name M-I-C-H-I-O.
Okay. Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for the call.
All right.
Uh-huh. Bye. Willie from Madison. Hi.
Hi. Somebody said don't have as much politics, but, you know, really, isn't that the reason we're in such terrible problems in this country? Partly is because people have gotten so sick of politics, they've just kind of let some of it go and haven't learned what they need to learn about history, about politics, so that they can make better political decisions and not elections, let elections be stolen and stuff. But, so here's what I would like to suggest. You know, I was talking about this at work the other day where I got into all kinds of trouble with all kinds of people for the stuff I said back in 2001 and 2003. And now they're starting to come around and people are realizing that, gee, some of these crazy radical lefties, they saw the thing in the world a lot more clearly and they were right. How about considering, Kathleen, having one of those radical lefties? And when I say radical lefties, I mean the people who are systematically excluded from the debate in virtually all broadcast media in this country. Radical lefties, not, you know, not Walter Mondale lefties, not even Barack Obama lefties, or Bernie Sanders lefties. I mean people that are real lefties. And let's go to the source. How about the most quoted living English language author who is one of those who everybody knows about in Europe, and at least three quarters of all Americans have never heard of him. And I think he's a little old now, but I think he's still pretty sharp. And I think Rhonda could get him on the air. We managed to get him at our Radical Alternative station here in Madison. I think you probably could, too. He would like to talk to the people in Wisconsin. You know who I'm talking about.
Noam Chomsky?
How did you guess, Kathleen? Well, see, that puts you in that one quarter, maybe, of Americans who know who he is and know what he's said. And maybe don't think he's entirely crazy. And it turned out that the stuff he was saying in his most recent books about what this current administration was up to, he was right. Maybe we should listen to him and see what we could, if any of that knowledge could help us for the next 10 years. What do you think?
All right, Willie, he's worth having on, no doubt about it.
Well, how long has it been since he's been on Wisconsin Public Radio?
You know, not that long. He was on maybe within the last 6 months, I think.
Oh, I don't know. I
Well, life goes fast, so it could have been longer than that, but I think it was.
Of course, I'm an old man, and I'm sort of getting dingy, and I forget stuff, too.
We'll try and get him.
I certainly have not heard him on Wisconsin Public Radio since Dave Berkman about 5 years ago once.
Oh, I think it was sooner than that.
And that took a long time to get him onto there.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll track it down.
Will you?
Well, yeah, we will.
Well, I don't know. I'll wait. Give me a call when you're gonna, and I'll make sure I tune in that day.
All right, Willie. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Lou from Milwaukee is next. Hi, Lou.
Hello, how are you doing?
All right, how are you?
Okay. Recently, I heard a weatherman make a statement after some odd weather to the fact that that wasn't supposed to happen. And I'm wondering if you could get somebody on to discuss how pervasive that kind of thinking is. In other words, it seemed like the guy was saying he had a rule book for Mother Nature's weather.
Mm-hmm.
Understand where I'm getting at?
Yeah, I get, yeah.
So I'm just wondering about other things other than weather, how pervasive that kind of thinking is.
Who would you have as a guest? Do you want that weatherman on?
No. No, somebody with a broader view of that kind of thinking.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah.
It's interesting to sort of think about all of the, how far you can go with that, right?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
All right, Lou, thank you.
Okay.
Dale from Prairie du Chien. Hi, Dale.
Good morning, Kathleen, and thank you very much. And thank the public radio. It's really a godsend to have a interaction between the listeners and the programming. That's very good. And I have two suggestions. One is, this is from the N Report on free speech television, which I recommend your listeners check out. It's a report about what one of your callers already mentioned about the North American Union, but this is a different view of it from two people who have investigated it quite thoroughly, apparently. One is Dan Hamburg. He is a former California congressman, and the other is Lewis Seeler, the Voices of the Environment.org president. That would be one suggestion. Another suggestion is a Dr. Rocky White on single-payer health insurance. He's an advocate for it, and he's edited a book, Meltdown, and he has a deep knowledge. He was a born-again Christian, or he is in person, and he became interested in the cost of medicine and the care that was given to our country. In this country, we have 700,000 people who declare bankruptcy, according to a report I heard, every year because of the health care cost. But anyway, Dr. Rocky White would be an interesting speaker. He's editing and has written and worked on this book on Meltdown.
Okay.
And I can't remember the author. It's Bob something. My notes are real sketchy here.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Dale.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Uh-huh. Bye. Jim from Viroqua. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
I have a suggestion. You know, you always have Wisconsin authors on.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking maybe you could have some Wisconsin musicians,
mm-hmm.
like Clyde Stubblefield, who played with James Brown. Maybe something about Luther Allison, who lived in Madison, and I think he was originally from Madison. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Butch Vig, if you could get him. He's the drummer for Garbage. And then he was a famous producer before he formed the band.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just some of my suggestions.
Okay, yeah. We haven't really done a Wisconsin music show. That might be fun for us to do.
Okay.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
Elaine from Colfax. Hi.
Hi. I have a story I'm dying to hear more about. The former governor of Alabama is in prison, and there was an expose on his false imprisonment on 60 Minutes. I don't know if it was within the last month.
Yeah.
And the charges were brought. Behind the scenes, Karl Rove was instrumental in getting those charges, and I guess it was just a horrible situation, unfairly imprisoned. And this program aired when it aired, the entire state of Alabama couldn't get CBS.
Right.
So nobody in the state of Alabama even saw that program. And the national CBS affiliate said there was no technical problem. So I read about this in the Progressive magazine, that they claimed technical difficulties, and that might be a source to find out where they got that information. And another source, obviously, would be to find out from 60 Minutes more about that story.
Right.
I just think it's fascinating that Karl Rove and the national government may have been behind getting rid of this governor who was attempting to change the system of education in a very poor state and very terrible education system, and that precipitated him getting ousted and imprisoned falsely. It's frightening to me, and I just would love to hear more about the story.
Wait, when did that story break, Elaine? Do you remember?
Well, I believe that I heard it in the last month. He has been in prison, though, for years.
Mm.
And they're working on, obviously lawyers are working on the injustice of this and getting him out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is something that, that should be on national news.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a attorney generals, I believe the attorney generals from every state in the United States have written that this is a false imprisonment, and it is, and they're both Republican and Democrat, to get this man exonerated. And I just think we all should know more about this. I think it's a terrifying event in our history.
Yeah, it's a very good suggestion. And I remember I never paid very close attention to it. I know what the story is about, but I didn't know that he had been in prison that long. And it certainly is worth our looking at. We thank you, Elaine.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
John from Madison. Hi.
Yeah, two suggestions. A journalist in Milwaukee, Roger Bybee, has written an excellent article for Z Magazine this month. It's called Free Trade Fundamentalism. And it goes into the New York Times so-called Ten Commandments. They're great advocates of free trade and demolishes them sequentially. I don't think the populace really understands what free trade is. It's looking for the cheapest labor source. It really isn't the equalization of trade. It's still tariffs, import tariffs and duties and stuff. We subsidize our agriculture and agricultural markets and also our pharmaceutical markets. And he tells in absolutely the clearest language possible what the public should understand about all this, because the adherents of it really are adherents for trying to confuse what is in the U.S.'s interest with the corporate interest. And it's a fabulous article. It clarified a lot of stuff for me, and I'm sure if it worked for me, it's going to work for everybody else. The second thing I would like to hear is there is a neuroscientist, George Lakoff, out of the University of California, that has written a book called Thinking Points. It's a primer for progressives and liberals to counter what the right has done over the last 30 years. And what they've done is they've set the unconscious context for understanding the world by endless repetition over the last 30 years, through Rush Limbaugh and all these, Fox and all the rest of them. And he goes into what the left, what the liberals, what the progressives, what the progressive part of the Democratic Party have to do to counter this. And it is essentially making narratives that the public can understand using visual metaphors, etc., and how to counter what the right has done. And to me, this is what the left should be looking at. Not the next argument or all the rest of it. You've got to have the worldview in place, and it's got to be there when the right goes into this nanny state worldview. They want us to believe that's what the left wants, which is absolutely not the case. It's not a maternal-based family order. It's a grouping of adults to come together for group purposes. But all I'm saying is get George Lakoff on and get Roger Bybee on.
Thanks, John. Let's go to Norma from Madison. Hi, Norma.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
It's so good to have you back.
Thank you.
My suggestion is to have a person on named Darren Kagan, who was a CNN anchor whose contract at age 45 was not renewed. The Wisconsin State Journal had a pretty good-sized article about her. She's made a couple of inspirational documentaries. One is about an Atlanta area woman working to end leprosy in India. Hmm. Another is called Solar Town USA, which hasn't found a TV home yet, and that's about a Wisconsin town that made a commitment to solar power in the 70s. She's written a book called What's Possible, and she has a website with inspirational stories.
Hmm.
And her website is Darren, D as in dog, A-R-Y, N,
okay.
Kagan, KAGAN.com.
KAGEN?
KAGAN.
Oh. At, wait, I'm confused. D-A-R-Y-N at?
No.
No.
Her first name is Darren.
Right.
D-A-R-Y-N.
Right.
Second name is Kagan, K-A-G-A-N.
Okay.
.com.
.com.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. That took
okay.
a while, but we finally got it there.
Anyway,
okay.
it would be good to have an inspirational stories after all the political stuff going on right now. It's kind of discouraging.
All right, Norma. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
Tim from Green Bay. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
Okay, you?
I'm wondering if Bob Uecker, if you could spend an hour with Bob Uecker, how fun that would be.
I know. You know, you just need to call the Brewers and tell them that he should be on the show. We've tried before. Rhonda tried to get him, and we struck out. We struck out. But we would love to have him on, and I'm sure that everybody in Wisconsin Public Radio land would love to hear him. We'd have a great time. I've known Bob Uecker for years and years and years, and quite frankly, I think he'd have fun on this show. But his time is limited. So call the Brewers, you know, say hey, or send them an email. Bob Uecker ought to be on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Will do.
All right, Tim.
Kathleen.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Frank from Madison, hi.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Frank.
Beautiful day.
Yeah, not bad. Not as good as yesterday, but not bad.
I would like to make two suggestions, and I'll try and sneak a third in, but two. One is that Glenn Greenwald is flogging a new book, Right-Wing Hypocrites, and he should be available.
Okay.
And this is essentially about the dereliction of the mainstream media, which isn't liberal. It essentially flogs the propaganda of the right, which is one of the great disconnects in our republic. And then the second is a marvelous book on the Magna Carta called The Magna Carta Manifesto by James Limbaugh, who's not the blowhard, someone else, good scholar.
Okay.
And this establishes the significance of the Magna Carta for a modern republic that has gone far away from the basic principles of popular rights.
Huh.
And the third one, guest is Robert Mosley, the Easy Rollins author.
Okay.
And he wrote a marvelous book called Working on the Chain Gang about what popular rights were in the year 2000 as a millennial essay.
Hmm.
And it would be good to ask him to talk about that, especially post-Katrina and post-Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a very articulate man. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Frank.
Take care.
Yeah, you too. Katrina from La Crosse. Hi, Katrina.
Yes. There was just a Conservation Congress meeting, and there's two issues that are sort of bubbling through among many that the state's looking at changing. One would be if you received any tax abatement for maintaining 35 or more acres in open forest, they would change it that since the citizens of Wisconsin do absorb the tax abatement, that then all citizens, any citizens, would have access to your property. It would be like renting it to the state. And that would be, and it really seems to be pushed by some basic hunters on steroids that, oh my God, there's the biggest buck in the world and it's on this private land and we can't get to it and we're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be, you couldn't tell anyone to leave your property as long as they weren't committing an actual crime.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had a hunting license, fishing license, trapping license, they would be free to trap, hunt, or fish your land as they choose. And I think that would push a lot of people out of it. And I realize out of 1,000 people, 999 would be really welcome on my land. But there's that one person I really want the ability to tell get off.
Mm-hmm.
And the second issue that came through is they would like to hold a wolf hunt in the state of Wisconsin because we now have 500 wolves off of reservation land, and they feel that may or may not be too many. And also a little thing that was tucked in that you could defend your property on public land from wolf attack. Now, I always could shoot a wolf if it was attacking my cow, my children, my sheep on my land.
Mm-hmm.
But what it seems to be is some guys like to hunt a bear with hounds. And this is on the same public property that the wolf packs exist on, and they bring their yappy group of canines onto another canine territory, and although they're real good hunters, they're real poor fighters, and three of them were killed last year. And it seemed, now I like bear meat pretty dang well, but it seems like they want the ultimate safety. Well, I want to hunt this big apex predator, but I want to do it in the safety like I have a video game. So I get to shoot a wolf if it goes after my hound. Well, if you choose to take your hound out, that sort of ends up your problem, is how I would feel about it. And it would also tie in if I owned 100 or so acres and had a wolf or a little bear den on there that I thought was just peachy and felt I was part of the wild kingdom. Well, if you had a bear license, you have a right to walk on my land and shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
And I find this uncomfortable. I like to hunt, but I just feel you don't have to get absolutely everything, absolutely anywhere and everywhere, or you're just going to die.
So this is being debated right now?
It's being debated, and of course, there was some real ardent people that were there their poor hound would be attacked by this bear, they're hunting bear, but they're upset that the wolves will attempt to drive them out of their territory, and if they won't give ground, they'll be killed.
Right. So who would be the people to have on the air about this?
Well, DNR, I think, is trying to just see what the public wants.
All right.
I honestly don't know. There are some groups in Wisconsin that are pro-wolf and some biologists I know out of UW-Madison, although I don't have the names.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one gentleman with a beard at our county meeting, and he just really, the wolves just need to be controlled. They're obviously a threat to his entire existence.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll look further into this. It may take some doing to get it. To get at all of it, but it sounds like an interesting talk show. So we thank you, Katrina, very much for your call. Let's go to Dee Dee from Madison next. Hi, Dee Dee. Hi, Dee Dee.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, Dee Dee.
Hi, I'm Dee Dee Mabry.
Hi.
Hi. That doctor really stimulated a lot of thought here. I would like to suggest the subject of a premise that Adam Smith puts in his classic book, The Wealth of the Nations,
mm-hmm.
that education and health care do not belong in the free enterprise system. They should be judged by the service they give, not by the money they make.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like that subject discussed, and I'm going to suggest that the head economist, Laura Dresser, she's the economist for the Center for Wisconsin Strategies, which is a part of the university. She's an excellent economist. She happens to also be a social worker, which she was before she became a researcher in economics. The latter is what she has her PhD in, so she's a good economist, too.
Laura Dressler. Dresser or Dressler?
Dresser.
Dresser. Okay.
Two S's. Dresser.
Right.
She's excellent. But I want that subject to be discussed.
It'll be a rip-roaring good discussion. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Dee Dee.
Okay, you bet.
More phone calls in a moment. Our number is 800-486-8655, 227-2050 if you're in Milwaukee. This is our open line for the month of April, and we do this once a month. If you can't get through on the phone, you can send us emails, Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org, our producer, or you can send it to me or, just do a copy thing, Dunn-K at WPR.org. I am Kathleen Dunn, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We want to remind you that Wisconsin Public Radio is bringing Ira Flato, who's the host of Talk of the Nation Science Friday, to Milwaukee on May 16. It will be a live national broadcast of his program. You can join us at the Milwaukee Public Museum on May 16 from 1 o'clock until 3 o'clock for the show, and then stay for a reception to meet Ira Flato and members of the Science Friday team. Tickets will include admission to the museum, the radio broadcast, and a reception, and then there will also be a ticketed VIP dinner with Ira Flato and WPR hosts. I'll be there, Joy, Ben, and that will be at Mater's Restaurant in downtown Milwaukee, the famous Mater's Restaurant, and that begins at 5:30. Information on our website, wpr.org/Ira. That's, once again, wpr.org/Ira. Or for tickets, 414-227-2047, 414-227-2047. Open line continuing with Arlene from Milwaukee. Hello, Arlene.
Hi. Glad to have you back, Kathleen.
Thank you.
I would like to hear Daryl, and I don't have his last name, but he wrote a book, and I believe it was in 2007, Beyond the Green Zone.
Yeah. Okay. And I have heard of that, and I don't know if somebody on the air has interviewed with him. I think that has happened, but I don't know who, and he's worth hearing again.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for your call. Jack is next from Weston. Hi, Jack.
Hi. See, there's a fungus or a disease by the name of blastomycosis. Have you heard of it?
Blastomycosis. No, yeah. Jack, I have not.
You haven't?
No.
Well, there's areas where it's quite serious.
Hmm.
It's a fungus that's in the swampy areas. And I learned about it about 10, 15 years ago when my dog contacted it. And then I found out that it kills people.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty serious. Now, can I tell you the areas where the problems are?
Well,
or shouldn't I?
Well, what's being done about it? I mean,
I don't know if there's anything being done about it, but you never hear about it, you know. It's something that's kept very quiet.
Uh-huh. But if it's a major health warning to people and to animals, somebody would have been on the case, right?
Well, yeah, I would think so, yeah.
Right.
But you never, like I said, you don't hear anything about it.
Uh-huh. Have you called somebody about it?
Well, not really. No, not really.
Maybe you should.
Yeah, I wouldn't know who to call. You'd have to call the doctors up in northern Wisconsin.
Well, you could certainly call the DNR about the fungus.
Well,
right?
They're aware of it, yeah. But again, they keep it quiet. You know, there isn't anything said about it.
Uh-huh. Well, I can't imagine why they wouldn't say anything about it. They don't want people and animals dying.
Well, it's in areas, like I say, swampy areas and lake frontages and rivers.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I just thought it could be something you could talk about.
All right. Well, we'll try and find out more about it.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Jack, very much for the call. Andrew from Ashland. Hello, Andrew.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I'm wondering, have you done anything recently on the subject of peak oil?
I haven't for a while, no.
Well, I think it might be a timely subject. I don't know if you've been following the Wall Street Journal, but they just did a big story on Saudi Arabia and some of the problems they're going through with production. They're bringing on a new oil field, and they're having to spend a lot of money to try to increase production. At the same time, they're looking at potentially declining outputs. It's important in the sense that Saudi Arabia produces 25% of the world's oil right now. But there's a gentleman by the name of Matthew Simmons.
Okay.
He wrote a book called Twilight in the Desert. And essentially, he really investigates the issue of OPEC in general, but Saudi Arabia in particular, in terms of where they're at in peak oil. And he's a pretty credible subject. He was actually quoted in this Wall Street Journal article.
Mm-hmm. It's Twilight in the Desert? Is that what it is?
Twilight in the Desert.
In the Desert, okay.
Matthew Simmons is his name.
Okay,
but,
Andrew.
But if there, in my opinion, if there ever were a credible expert on this issue, he has a geological background and everything, he would be it. And I think with rising oil prices, in OPEC's recent decision not to increase output, despite the fact we're at about $120 a barrel, I think has raised some eyebrows as to whether OPEC really has the ability to increase production.
Yeah.
So that's...
Good suggestion, Andrew. Thank you.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Bye. All right, let's go next to Pete from Elroy. Hi, Pete.
Hi. I would like to have somebody get on, explain this DTV thing that's going to be happening in about 9.5 months. I've been trying to get a converter box for low power pass-through,
mm-hmm.
and I can't connect with anybody. I have a computer, I have the telephone, and you don't get any answers. And I have about 30 days left on my coupon, and then I lose it. And I've had DTV 2900 hang up on me and never give me one word one way or the other. The people I've connected with, what would you call them, the retailers?
Yeah.
They don't have these pass-through converter boxes as yet.
Uh-huh.
And the one that I did get connected with, they're out of stock, and I don't know if my coupon's worth anything anymore.
Just very quickly, we have 10 seconds left.
Sure.
What are you trying to accomplish?
Well, the poor, the elderly, people without computers or credit cards are going to have one heck of a time when this all comes down on top of them.
I see.
To get these converter boxes.
I see. Okay.
If you had an open line and got other people calling in, problems they're having.
Yeah. All right. Okay, we'll look at that. Thanks very much for the call, Pete. And thanks for all of your calls for our April open line, everybody, to John Treader, who has to handle a massive number of phone calls that come during these open lines. If you didn't get through, want to send an email, it's Fanning at WPR.org or Dunk at WPR.org, and we'll be very happy to listen to your suggestions. And you can send those along just any old time. News ahead from National Public Radio.